Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you.
God is God and God is on the throne, amen. Aren't we glad that God never gets off his throne? He's always king, right? Is he always king? Is he always Lord? No matter what goes on in this world, no matter what goes on in our lives, he is still God, man. And we have to remember that. As my dad was talking about earlier, we always have to remember that God is ultimately in control of our lives as we submit to him, amen. It's important to submit. And today, this message that I'm going to be preaching on, it's something that I've been reading in the Word. I've been listening to the Bible. Some of us don't like reading, so, you know, sometimes I just listen to the Bible. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But I've been reading and listening, and this kept on coming up. It kept on coming up, and I was like, man, this is interesting. We have a men's Bible study that we do over the phone on Thursday nights, young men. And a lot of the young men that are in there, they don't even go to church as of yet, but they're getting the word in them, and that's really what's important. We're telling them the importance of church, but you got to just take it one step at a time, amen? But today's topic is called Give It Up. Somebody say, give it up. Now, we all have something that we have to give up to God, right? Number one, the very first thing that we have to give up is our life. And I'm going to get to that verse in a second. But we have to give up our life. There's something about when you give something to God, we see he does something miraculous. If we don't give our life to God, our life is just going to be the same old life. But as soon as we gave our life to God, we see that God just starts putting things together that, you know what I'm saying, we couldn't have put together ourselves. We start seeing him do different things in our life. You see him start correcting us, training us up, and making us into the beautiful men and women of God that he has made us today, all because we decided to give God our life. And as I was reading the scripture, I kept seeing these little instances and stories where somebody gave either to Jesus or to the man or woman of God at that time. And I'm not talking about a offering. I'm not talking about monetary right now. But what we do see is there was a pattern of how even when they gave out of the little they had, what God did in their life. Amen? Number one, in Mark chapter 31, I believe, 31 towards the end of the chapter, let me go ahead and look that up. Somehow my scripture got cut off. But it talks about us, if we want to gain our life, we must lose our life. Now, what does that mean when it says that, as I'm looking it up? Anybody want to say, what does it mean to lose our life if we're trying to gain our life? Sacrifice. Okay? So how do we sacrifice? Giving something up. Hallelujah. Okay. There's no 31. Sorry about that. I think it's Mark chapter 3 as I wrote down. Anyway, if somebody can find that scripture for me, for some reason my text messed it up. But Mark chapter, in a chapter of Mark, well, okay, there's another one where it talks about it. Luke 9:23. Let's go there. Luke 9. All right. In this chapter, we see right before Jesus did something that is actually interesting because that's what I'm going to talk about. But I'm just going to go to verse 23. It says, then he said to all of them. So did he say this to just a few people? All of them. So this means everybody, right? Then he said to all of them, whoever wants to be my, what does it say? Disciple, follower, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So we know that part of being a Christian is to give up yourself. We see that already. We must deny ourselves. Now, a lot of us, we continue to walk in our own ways. We walk in our own ways. We think that we could do it on our own. We think that we know it all. I was praying this week like, man, God, I don't want to look like I know it all, God. I'm not here to show people that I know it all, right? None of us are here to show that we know it all. That's why we pray to God. Because, God, I don't understand what's going on. Like, you know, when money is not coming in, all of a sudden we like, God, I don't know what's going on. But when it comes to even choices that we make in our life, God has been saying we need to go to God for counsel. God, is this something that you want me to do? Is this a place that I should go in my life, or should I sit still and wait on what God says? I tell people, if God does not tell you anything, don't do anything. Just sit still. Do what the word already says. Amen. But Luke 9:23 says we must give something up. We must sacrifice something for God. And I've been reading in the Old Testament how a lot of sacrifices took place. Do you know that they sacrificed an animal 2 times a day? At least one animal 2 times a day. And that was a lot of barbecue. 720 lambs in a year. That's just the lambs. I was looking at it. I was like, are you serious? Like, I was like, man, God was super serious about this sacrifice thing. He was not playing. Why? Because of the sins that Israel had. And he wanted to show them how serious it was. Look, he said they sacrificed 2 times a day to be in right standing with God. And that ain't even the grain offering. That ain't the feast. Oh, man, it was so many sacrifices. It was crazy. But some of us don't even sacrifice for God but one day a week. What God shows us, even in that 2 things a day, it's a daily sacrifice. We see Romans 12:1. I always say this scripture. We must sacrifice. Therefore, what's it say, Mom? No, not that one. Therefore, we must offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God. This is our spiritual act of worship. In sacrifice, there is worship, right? The reason why we worship is we're sacrifice or surrendering ourselves to God. Amen? Let's look at the definition of sacrifice real quick. What is sacrifice? You got it, buddy? All right. An act or offering to a deity something precious, especially the killing of a victim of on an altar. Now, I am going to say this. If you went to God back in the day with a sacrifice that didn't cost you anything, didn't mean nothing. Matter of fact, we know about Cain, right? The reason why Cain killed his brother is because Cain thought he can give anything to God, even though it wasn't precious to him. He thought, if I give this to God, he's going to accept it. But Abel went and gave his best. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. In the sacrificial system of the Israelites, they did not sacrifice anything but the firstborn. Right? Now, the firstborn meant a lot. We look at even in families. The firstborn usually was the king. The firstborn was the one that got the birthright. The firstborn was the one that got this and that. The firstborn of an animal, every animal that was made in Israel was supposed to be given to the priest. That's a sacrifice. Because that was usually the firstborn is the best. And I don't mean that like, you know, just because I'm the firstborn either. But I'm just saying, like, you get, when you're the first child, your life is different than everybody else's because you've been with the parent the longest. You know, I'm not, and that doesn't mean you're better than any other child, but it's just like my daughter, Markayla, even though my son, I love my son, I've had Markayla longer than him. So, like, Markayla just got that special spot. Yeah, I can't explain it. But she's the firstborn. But it's very important that we understand it has to be something precious. Something offered in a sacrifice is what a sacrifice is. I don't like those kind of definitions when it gives you the word. Three, a destruction or surrender or something for the sake of something else. Something given up or lost. And that's what I'm going to use for the sacrifice. So when we sacrifice, do we offer to God something that even us, we really strongly desire, right? Some of the stuff that when it comes to sacrifice for us is not, oh, man, that person needs me to go pray for him. Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm a sacrifice today. Because some of us didn't want to go do that. Right? Now imagine if somebody calls you in the middle of your favorite TV show where you just been, oh man, it's been a tough day. You come home, you sit down, you're like, I'm about to relax. Somebody calls you, hey man, I need prayer. I'm going through it right now. And you might not even answer it. You know what I'm saying? You know how we do. We just let it go to voicemail. Then you hear the voicemail and you're like, man, should I call this person back? And I'm trying to relax. That's when you post a sacrifice. That's when it's going to mean something, not only to them, they don't even know what you've been through, right? They don't know that you've been working 40 hours this week. You done helped your grandma move that week. You done fixed everything for your mom at her house. The kids been driving you crazy. You just need a break. But that's when God's going to see, are you going to sacrifice for me? Are you going to give something up for me? There's a lot to this when it comes to giving up. There's stuff that in our life that we need to get rid of, that we need to give up. And then there's gifts that we need to give up to God. It's twofold. There's things that Eli has, a gift that God has been waiting for him to give to God. And God is saying, okay, when you do that, I'm going to move miraculously. There's gifts in Smiley. There's gifts in Hannah, McQuester, Precious, Monica, and Michael. There's gifts that God has said, are you going to give this up to me or are you going to hold on to it? Because if you don't give it up to God, he can't do anything with it. He cannot do anything with it when you're trying to hold on to it with all, man, this is my gift, though, God. Man, I got this. Hey, God, I really got this. Until we really surrender it to God and give it up to God, he can't do anything. What are we giving God to work with in our life? Ask yourself, what am I giving to God? Come on, say it like you mean it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. And when you got it, say amen. Hey, Mom, you could turn this down or so, up here. Hallelujah. All right, this is a quick parable that we're going to get into. Matthew 13, 31 said, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. That was the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. All right. Now, when it says that, a mustard seed, it was something small, right? Some of us, we might get a mustard seed, look at it, and they'd be like, that's nothing. They said it's smaller than, how many of us know what an apple seed look like? You know, it's smaller than an apple seed. What's the smallest seed is a mustard seed. But When this person said he found that mustard seed and planted it, it became big. So big that birds were able to make their nest on it. So big. This little thing produced something big. And I've been saying a lot as of late that with God, everything starts with a seed. Everything in life starts with a seed. You started with a seed. Fruit started with a seed. But when we are willing, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. When we find it, we go and plant it. God is saying there's something, even though you might think it's so small, this is the importance of us realizing how us surrendering and giving up our gifts to God can make a huge difference. Even though you say, hey, man, what I got is real small, it's not that much. But when you give it to God, he takes that little and makes it a lot. He takes that little thing that you got that you feel so insecure about that the enemy's telling you, hey, man, you can't do that, Precious. Don't even do that, Precious. Man, you're supposed to read about. Don't do that, Precious. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, well, I don't know. I can't do. We start getting excuses. But God is saying, just give me that little thing. Just give me that little thing and see what I can do. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 through 22. We're going to see how Jesus fed the 5,000. Somebody say 5,000. He didn't feed 100. And I'm going to say this. This is only the men that he fed there. Right? So, you know, there was women and kids there too. So Jesus might have fed like, let's see if there was really populating back then. He might have fed like 25,000 people. But, they just counted the men there. What chapter was it? 14, verse 13. Okay. Chapter 14. When Jesus heard. Okay, verse 14. When Jesus. Let's go to 13. I'm sorry, Mike. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus answered, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Let's think about that. Wow. 5,000 people. Let's just put ourselves in that situation. 5,000 people need to eat. Right? Maybe even more because of the women and kids. Jesus points to you and says, "You feed them." Now, some of us might go look in the refrigerator like, "What you mean, God? I don't got food for 5,000 people." But come on, how many of us would be like, "I got 5,000 food for everybody"? None of us, right? None of us would say, "I can feed all these people." Some of us be like, "I don't know how I'm feeding my family." Right? Right. But Jesus says, "You feed them." Let's see what he says after this. Because I've been seeing this pattern as I keep reading the word. And this is the importance of reading the Bible. Some of us don't read it or listen to the Bible enough. We don't hear God's voice because you ain't listening or reading the Bible. I always say that. Don't read the Bible and I guarantee you won't hear from God. Quote me. All right, here we go. Verse 17. And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right, they supposed to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, let's be real, y'all. You might be able to make some nice tuna fish sandwiches. You cut that up, but it ain't going to feed 5,000. But look what Jesus says. He said, "Bring them here to me." All right? Now, with this story, a lot of us get caught up on, him just feeding the 5,000. But somebody had to give up the five loaves of bread and two fish. Matter of fact, there could have been several people that gave up those five loaves and two fish. Now, for that person, they had to sacrifice something, right? Because, I mean, just think about it. If it was a family that got five loaves and two fish, they're going to eat good. They got a salmon. We're going to grill this salmon out here. You know what I'm saying? You know, let's throw some herbs on the bread just so, you know, got a little flavor. They were going to eat good. But they went around. These people had to give something up. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that had remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now we see God took that little bit and did something major with it. He took those five pieces of bread, loaves of bread, two fish, and made a huge miracle. Did a huge miracle, right? So why do you think what you have is insignificant to God? Why do we continue to think that, oh, man, I need to just hold this back because nobody's really going to get this. They're not going to appreciate it. I'm not good enough. God is saying, give that little that you have and give it to me and watch what I can do. Now somebody might say, oh, that's just a coincidence. You know, that only happened once. Well, let's go to the next chapter, Matthew chapter 15. Verse 32. Now Jesus feeds 4,000. Now, does that mean that this was less to God? No, this is the same thing. What God is showing us is we cannot do it on our own. The little stuff that we have, we can't do it on our own. We're just natural. When we give it to God, he adds that super to our natural so that he can move and do things that we can't even fathom, all because we decided to get, hey, man, I'm going to give this to God. I'm going to give this to God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Now, hold up, man. This is the next chapter in the Bible. We see the disciples. Jesus just fed 5,000, right? It's the next chapter. We go to the next chapter. Now, this could be another day. This could be it couldn't be more than 3 years because we know Jesus' ministry only lasted 3 years. But they should remember that, hey, we just 5,000 just got fed 3 months ago. Let's just say it was 3 months ago. But then they say, then his disciples said to him, where could you get enough bread in the wilderness? Let's just say this. Where in the world can you get enough bread for these people? For such a great multitude. Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. All right, now check it out. Last time it took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and it fed 5,000. For 4,000, they got 7 loaves. That's a little more. But see, God don't care about how much you have as long as you give that little that you have to him. He ain't counting it. God is not on a add and multiplication system like we are. He doesn't have, if you give one, you'll get one back. God doesn't do that. Matter of fact, we give tithes and offering because the word of God says that he will give back to us flowing abundantly. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Some 100-fold. 100-fold does not mean if I give a dollar, I get a dollar back. That's 1% or 1-fold. But a hundredfold means if I give up $1, God might give me 100, 60, 30. God is the God that gives more than what we give. More than enough. And they said seven and a few fish, verse 35. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks. We have to give thanks for the gifts that we have as well. We have to thank God for the little that we have and see what God does. Some of us are not thankful for the stuff that we have. You know what we do? A lot of Christian artists look at the worldly artists and say, I want to be like them. We're not thankful for the gift we have, so we're trying to mimic that person because they have worldly success. They look good. They look fly. Everybody's watching them. But they're not even excited about their success. How much did you make last year? I made $60 million off one album. Not me personally, but this is what they say. Are you happy? Well, you know, I might need to buy another yacht or something so I can get a couple more smiles. I might need to, it's temporary. So what they begin to do is they begin to get these addictions, right? Addictions to buying stuff, addictions to drugs, addictions to sex. So they're giving it up in a whole nother way. They're not giving it to God. They're giving it up to try to fill themselves up, to try to feel happy, to try to make them. See, this is the thing about when you give something to God. He's not going to make you feel sorrowful. The word of God says the blessings of the Lord that he gives, he makes rich without sorrow. It says God doesn't give success. He gives great success. Some people got success and it's just like, oh, well, yeah, I'm successful, but they're not happy. That's not great success. That's failure success. Because when you're successful, you shouldn't just feel all down. My brother Smiley was saying, man, he was doing secular music not too long ago. And he was just like, man, I wasn't happy. I was chasing success. He was like, man, I felt like I was just chasing it all around. You know what I'm saying? Like one way, like a dog chases his tail. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he couldn't find it. That's because he realized, and the Lord showed him, you chasing the wrong thing. Give your gift to me. All the time that, as an example, he was wasting, or all the time that we waste, when we don't give it to God, we're not seeing success. We need to be thankful. He broke them and gave them to his disciples. Verse 36, I'm going to start over. And he took the seven loaves and a fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up seven large baskets full of fragments that were left. Check it out. After even feeding the 4,000, why did Jesus show that there was still food left? Both instances, right? He said they were full both times. Let's just look at this, man. Because if me and you was both there, this would be on national TV right now. How did he do? Oh, man. He got five loaves, two fish, seven pieces of bread, and two small fish, and he fed all these people. This is something that our God does. All right. Verse 38, now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children, and he sent away the multitude, got in a boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Now, this isn't something that just Jesus did, though, right? Say, this isn't only what Jesus did. We're going to go to the Old Testament because, you know, I like the Old Testament stories. I've been listening to the Old Testament. I've been hearing the Old Testament over and over. And as we read that in our men's Bible study, I had been listening to this at the same time. And I was like, wow, this is crazy how God just be confirming himself. Because until yesterday, I had no idea what I was going to preach about. Right? And this is how I preach. If God don't say nothing, I'm not going to say nothing. Because it's very important that we deliver an on-time message. I got messages in the crates. I could pull them out. I've been preaching since, man, I don't know how long I've been preaching now, but I've been preaching since I was out of high school. I got messages from high school that I could preach, but I was like, man, let me get a message right now for God's people. What are you trying to say? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. And this man here is Elijah and a widow. When you got it, say amen. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah proclaims a drought. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, okay, why did it say that again? Sometimes this Bible be doing that. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So we went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook of the Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now let's think about this. God provided Elijah, who was the man of God, the spokesman of God at that time. They didn't have a Bible. They had the prophets of God. And this prophet told everybody there's going to be a drought. And because of his obedience in speaking this, even though King Ahab wasn't cool with it, because King Ahab was like, man, like, I don't like this cat. But since King Ahab was wicked, God said, hey, man, I'm going to shake things up real quick to let you know who's really in control. Elijah, go tell homie. This is what he said. Elijah, go tell that homie that it's going down. And he ain't making it rain no more. We're going to shut the rain off. So for years, Elijah was the prophet, and he went and said this. But even in a drought, somebody say even in a drought, from him being obedient, him even coming close to sacrificing his life because he was going against the word of a king, God provided for him even in a drought. We need to know that God is a provider. Amen. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, and before I go there, next time we have another recession, remember, who's our provider? That's what they had. They had a recession of water back then. They didn't have no water. But God still provided. Verse 9, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I might drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it. And what does it say? Oh, man. So how much did she have? She had a little bit. She was like, me and my son about to eat, and since the drought is so bad, we're going to die. This is our last meal. They were like, Jesus, this is the last supper, right? That's what they were planning. We're going to eat this last supper, and it's going to be over. But Elijah asks for that little. Right? Let's see what God does. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake first from it and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends the rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now, what do we see here? This woman gave of her little to the spokesman of God at that time. It's the same thing that happened when Jesus was there, right? He said, well, I know we are in need. And this is what I was talking about when we were in the Bible study. When we are in need, that's when God is requiring us to give something. When out of your need, God wants to see, okay, we see it with Elijah. Thank you, Lord. We see it with Abraham. Abraham needed a son. He gets a son. Out of his need, God tests him. Says, okay, sacrifice your son. What you mean? God, if I give my son, I don't have nothing left. Right? Because how many of us 100 years old people are still having babies? Even back then, they was like, yo, I mean, think about it. They live so long, but a 100-year-old person having a baby? Yeah, right. So they had, you see, oh, but when they gave that little, even Abraham saying, okay, God, I'm going to do it, was enough. And God told him after that, he stopped him. He didn't sacrifice his son. He stopped him because he was willing to sacrifice. See, some of us ain't willing to sacrifice. But when we're willing to sacrifice, God told Abraham, okay, since you were willing to sacrifice, look at the stars. I'm going to make your descendants as much as the stars. I'm going to make your descendants as much as the sand. It didn't happen until he was willing to sacrifice. It didn't happen until he was ready to give something up back to God. But we holding on to stuff. We holding on. And this is for me too. We holding on to so much things. If we want this church to grow, we have to give it to God. What are we doing to hold back the church from growing? What are we doing to hold ourselves back from growing? We ain't giving God time. Oh, God, let me get. Hey, God, hey, we got 5 minutes? Okay, cool. God, oh, I do got 5 minutes to finish, too. But we give God 5 minutes and think that, but God is saying, that's not a sacrifice. That's not a sacrifice. I know there's times that I couldn't even go to bed because I was like, man, God, I need you to do something. I'm going to sacrifice this night. I'm just going to sit up and pray with you, God. And the next day, God does something. And can I tell you how he did it? No. But he required some kind of sacrifice from me. Sleep. Now, I don't like going to sleep, but when I go to sleep, I like it. It's kind of hard to explain. Like, I'm just like a little kid. Like, it's 2 o'clock. I still be up. Like, cool. But then, I go to sleep when I'm tired because I hate just laying in the bed trying to go to sleep. But let me keep on going. Elisha, the understudy of Elijah, who took Elijah's place after Elijah was taken up to heaven, Elisha came, right? Now, those are two different people. But Elisha got a double anointing, right? And check it out. There was another widow, because usually a widow represents somebody that everything has been taken from them. You know what I'm saying? When they lose their husband, that's like back in the Bible day, if they lost their husband, there was pretty much nothing that they could do. They had to wait for another man to come by. And in this story, I'm just going to paraphrase it. Since she lost her husband didn't pay off all the debts. And back then, what they would do is instead of taking money, they would take your kids. So they're going to take two of her sons. She came to Elisha and was like, man, they're going to take my sons. Man of God, can you do something? And he said, go What do you have in your house? This is what he asks. What do you have in your house? God is asking us the same thing. Hello, what do you have in your house? She said, I got a little oil. I got a little oil. And then he said, go ask all your neighbors, all your family members for jars. Get as many jars as you can and pour. And as you pour, that little oil is going to fill up all these jars. And then guess what happened? And this is in 2 Kings chapter 4 for you guys to go look at it. Actually, let me just go ahead and read it. It's only 7 verses. It said, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha. Oh, man, it did it again. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Somebody say, what do I have in my house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing. I don't have anything, but. Somebody say, but. Because she thought this was insignificant. Right? I don't got nothing, but. Some of us be like, I really don't got nothing, but, you know, I can do this a little bit. But he said, has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. So what did we see? Don't just gather a few. Like, yo, stack it. We're going to stack. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it on all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Then she came and told the man, and he said, go sell all the oil and pay the debt, and you and your sons shall live off the rest. Look what God did with that little that she was willing to give to God. Amen? The Bible says faith without works is dead. Some of us believe in God so much. I believe, God, I believe. But if we don't put our feet to our belief, then it does us no good. Matter of fact, man, the Bible says it like this. Even the demons believe in God. Right? The devil believes that God is God. The devil believes that Jesus is God. The devil believes in the Holy Spirit. He believes in a triune God. Matter of fact, he believes so much that he tried to copy it. The devil's not dumb. He knows who God is. So he works to try to defeat the works of God, to try to defeat us from working for God. That's the devil's job. But God is saying, are you going to work? Are you going to put work to your faith? Are you going to give something for that faith that you believe? Are you going to give it up? And the reason why most of us don't give things up to God is because we don't trust God. Right? Now, in all of those stories that we read from the Word of God, they could have said, what I got is not enough, man. I'm just going to keep it, man. These 5 loaves of bread, these 2 fish, there's no way that it's going to feed 5,000 people. Let me just hold it back. The 7 loaves, it ain't going to feed 4,000 people, right? The little bread that the lady had, it was only enough for her and her son. Man, I'm like, hey, I'm good with that, man. Like, dude, I don't know who you were, but God must have told you something wrong because I'm only making cornbread for me and my son. And then we done. The last lady could have been like, man, I don't have anything. And then she was like, but I do got a little oil. Every one of those instances, they could have just said, I don't got anything to give God. And guess what? We wouldn't see the miraculous that God did with the little that he gave or that they gave. There's a couple of people that didn't give up some things to God. We see Lot's wife, right? She didn't give up the old ways of that city. She didn't give it up to God. Israel coming out of Egypt, they didn't give up Egypt. It's on the flip side. They didn't give up Egypt, and they didn't give up the praise that their God deserved for the things that he did in their life. And also Judas. He couldn't give up his love for money. Right? That's the only reason he betrayed. Listen, man, there's a lot of cats like Judas living today. They'll betray you for $1,000. Just sign in on a contract. Make sure I get that on delivery. Like, there's people that would do that. Because it was a lust for money. Now, they might not go hang themselves, but as you continue to lust after that, guess what you're doing? You're spiritually hanging yourself over and over again. Fall into those lusts. Fall into those addictions. But God is saying, give those up to me. Get rid of those. Get those up. And then give up to me what you need, what you have. And watch what God will do. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just pray, dear God, that this message would go forth, dear God, and speak to all of us, dear God. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Dear God, there's some things in our life that we may not have been given to you. Help us give them to you, God. Help us to sacrifice our lives, oh God, so that you are pleased with us. Help us to be honest, oh God, and give to you everything that we have. Help us not to hold back, God, because we never know with the little things that you have given us how many people can be impacted, how many people can be changed, how many people can be delivered, oh God. Help us remember that you can do more than the little that we have if we just give it to you, God. And I pray to God that you watch over us, protect us, keep us, oh God. And until we come back again, in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118. And our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.